Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Kevin. Well, a little different than we went away last Sunday was like, being over at the farm show, being on bleachers. It was a good service, good time for community to be together, to worship together. Okay, what are we preaching from this morning?
Galatians 5.
How many of you read Galatians 5? At least there's one here. Oh, there's a couple others. Galatians, a week ago you read it. Okay, well, hey, so now for next Sunday, you know it's going to be Galatians 6. So throughout this week, if you take some time, not if, do take some time and read through that several times, and the whole book of Galatians won't take you very long, but read through that and see what is said there for the message next week. Also, we want to thank all the sound folks and all the music folks who took part in preparing for worship this morning. Thank you very much for that, and also for the teachers that are with the children this morning. Thank you for doing that and being part of the kingdom work. I've entitled the message, Freedom of the Abundant Life. Freedom of the Abundant Life. What is Christian liberty? What is Christian liberty? Anybody have an idea on that? Excuse me. What is Christian liberty? Christian liberty is the freedom to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. And we were singing about it this morning. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We live in a day and age when men and women and children are seeking liberation. Liberty. When I think of liberty, I think there's a Jeep named Liberty. Now, why would they named it Liberty? I know why. You can go where other people can't. Just like when we were at the mountains, well, that was years ago up at Lewisburg, and a guy had a Jeep, and we went where the other people don't. And there was a Vanagon that got up there one time, and it burned out. Well, I can understand why. Because the rough terrain that we were in. This Jeep that we had special tires that were going to take the rocks and stuff like that. It was prepared for it. But we came to a place in the trail on the top of Mount Nittany for a long distance. We could see ahead, but there was water in between. Maybe 200 feet of water. And of course, I wasn't driving. It was our friend that was driving, and he looked, he said, well, maybe we'll have to turn around. But he got out and looked at it, and what he was looking for was tracks to see if some other people had gone through. So, well, he came back and said, yep, we'll go through. Well, we went through. He kept it moving through there, but it was stank. I mean, we ended up in the afternoon washing the whole Jeep off, but we were up on the top of the mountain at places where nobody goes. So I think that's why they named it Liberty. Well, you know what? You as a Christian have liberty. You have freedom because you're in Jesus Christ. Remember that. Do your own thing is a manifesto of the freedom movement. And we know that from years back, and we don't have to go back very far. We can look at it today. Me, myself, and I. Isn't that what we want? Me, myself, and I. How many of you like to play second fiddle? Now, for Anna, our exchange student, she said, second fiddle. You know, she don't understand. We say certain things and certain sayings that we incorporate in our English language. Who would want to play second fiddle? Well, me, myself, and I. It's a freedom move. Do what I want. Authority is being challenged as individuals follow the desires of their own heart. Authority is being challenged Can you think of any place in the past week where you would have seen or heard of authority being challenged? It can be in church. It can be in the workplace. It can be in the family setting. It can be in the marriage. There's a lot of places that it can happen. Self-centeredness is the motivating factor for worldly freedom. Self-centeredness. And you know, we don't have to work hard to do that. Even these little children up here know how to do that. Don't play with my toys. Don't take my toys. Don't knock my stuff down. I want it. And what do? They take it and they go over to another corner of the room, and hopefully brother or sister won't come and mess with my tower or building that I built. You know what? The little children know how to do it. And you know what? Those children grow up to be adults that are here in this room right now. We know how to handle that. Yeah, we do. Worldly freedom. But that's not real freedom according to the Bible. Jesus said in John 8:34, "Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." While the liberation movements can't really set a person free, Jesus can. Jesus can set you free. Jesus can set you free. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be" what? "Ye shall be free indeed." Free indeed. This is the manifesto of Christianity. One reason is that it's difficult for Christians to understand current liberation movements, in that they can't relate to the bondage because of their liberty in Jesus Christ. I want read for us now, somebody has scripture from Galatians 5:13-16. Galatians 5:13-16, please.
"For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another."
Thank you. And I did need to give that scripture to somebody, and they took the liberty to pass it on to someone else. Well, that's okay. That's okay. Okay, then let's hear from Galatians 5:16, I believe, through 21. Any of you know that was planted to Barry's message word. I wanted it to come out of the message. And we're not spending time on each one of those today. A sigh of relief. But they're there. We know what they are. And there's a big word in there that was used in the message. But you can hunt them up. You have dictionaries. And see what the evil one tries to get us to turn to. Then let's read from Galatians 5, 22 through 26.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Thank you. Freedom comes because of truth. Now you can put that in your mind and you can chew on that throughout the week. Freedom comes because of truth. How is it our liberty defined? It can be misused. It can be misunderstood. When I say as a Christian that I am free in Christ, what does that mean? What is it? What is the liberty or the freedom? What is involved? How does it operate? From Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty or freedom. And we see that in Galatians, the theme for the whole book is encapsulated in Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke. With the yoke of bondage, yeah. With the yoke of bondage. We didn't have the deal where we plowed with horses or oxen or stuff, but they had a yoke around their neck. We live in Amish communities, and we see they put on horses to help them, to make them pull. But how often do you see a horse, an ox, and a donkey put together to pull? You don't. It's interesting to me to watch some of the Amish folk that have their workhorses, and then they'll have their driving horse along also. And that driving horse just isn't quite, he's helping some, but he's not quite doing the load that those other two workhorses are doing. And it's interesting. But you know what they do? If they're training a horse, they put one on the outside to help them learn what's going on, to help them get in the beat, get in the walk, the rhythm of all working together. Is there any lessons for us in our families, in our church? Walking together in unity? Is there something to that? Yes, I think it is. The other thing is, be not unequally yoked together is a verse from 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers is said there. Christ has wants us to be careful how we do that, because you can't have, as I said, the donkey and the ox together. They got to be uniform. We got to be walking together. Christ set us free to experience true freedom. Christian freedom is freedom of conscience. Did you ever hear that growing up from your parents? About having a clear conscience? Yeah, I remember that. There was times that my mouth wasn't always saying things that I should have said, and my mom helped me with getting a clear conscience over some things, and the soap didn't taste very good. But it made the point. It made the point. Now today, there's so many different kinds of soap, I don't know, you could pick which one you want, but maybe that's not this problem. But I think we're still human though, right? Still human beings. Mm-hmm. Freedom of conscience, freedom from legal system that cannot be kept. It's our freedom from depressing awareness that we can't measure up to God. Think about that. Can you measure up? Can you measure up to God? As Christians, we measure up in Jesus Christ. That's the way we measure up. We measure up to God through Jesus Christ, because we know what Jesus Christ did for us. No use to try to be a Christian. I can't anyway, some people will say. I can't keep all this stuff. I can't be free. But he is the only one that can set us free. We've been accepted in the beloved. In Ephesians 6:1, Paul says, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. By the will of who? By the will of God. By the will of Jesus Christ. A blessing being pronounced here. The Galatian church had been adopted. I know what adopted means. Yeah? I think we have two children that are adopted into our family. We know all about that. Know the struggles and challenges go along with that. The Galatian Christians have been adopted as sons of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, freed from the external ceremonial laws. They were free in the Spirit to act out their own maturity and liberty from within. We see in Paul's theme here that Christianity is not slavery to a religious system. It is an absolute freedom through Jesus Christ. What do you think? Think that we can understand that in our lives, in our daily walk? We have been delivered from the tiring, relentless performance of religious rituals. The old covenant was the external. Why was it given? It was given to demonstrate what true holiness is and to show men that they couldn't make it on their own. We saw the ceremonial practices. You look at Leviticus, there's a lot of ceremonial practices that went on, were symbolic lessons that taught sacrifice was necessary for sin. Then we had the final sacrifice, and that was Jesus going to the cross. Once reality came, there was no longer any need for symbols because we know what happened. That veil that was across the Holy of Holies got taken down so that all can go in. All can go in. Christ came and set us free. Christian liberty is being free from having to fulfill all the legal codes to please God. Freedom from the frustration of being able to keep all the external sets of rules. We see in a positive sense, it's freedom from function by internal working. The internal working that's called the Holy Spirit. Remember that Jesus, on ascension time, he said, if I go not, the Comforter will not come. The Comforter, which we were singing about today, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter will come. The Comforter is the internal working. What is the beginning of a Christian liberty? It is with faith. It is with faith in Jesus Christ. Paul tells the Galatians in the beginning of this chapter, don't put it in circumcision. Don't put it in that stuff and that type of ceremonialism. But according to Galatians 4, 9, and 10, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly ailments, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. Here he was saying they were regressing. They were regressing from what they had known back. Have you and I regressed? Have we regressed at all this week? Is there time for revival? Yes, it is. There's time for revival. There's time for repentance. There's time for saying, God, I have walked on the way that I should not walk. I have walked away from those things that you have said we should walk in. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you the labor in vain. They were trying to accept the Jewish rituals, which no longer had any value to them. The old covenant, the Mosaic law, to the new covenant, the law of Christ, the moral law, had not changed in the mind of God. God had the same morality that he had then, because God is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. How do you and I live? Do we live sometimes like, God's not going to know about that? Mary prayed this morning about having God in the throne of your life. Do we continue to keep God in the throne room of our life and in the throne? Or do we sometimes say, Lord, step aside? By our actions, we take him off the throne. What do we do? Think about that. God has the same morality that he had then. As a Christian, we live under the internal restraints of the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We're not reacting to a code. We are responding to a person, to Jesus Christ. Acts 10, 9 and 10. Does somebody have that scripture or didn't I give that out? Acts 9 and 10. I didn't put it down here if I did. So, the Lord said to Peter that the Lord said to Peter that it was now lawful to eat anything. Peter said, I cannot eat. And we know that time the sheet was dropped down and had all these animals on that Peter could eat. Peter said, no, I can't. I can't eat them. They're not clean. But God said, you can. You can. Once the sacrifice of the Messiah was made, the pitchers weren't needed anymore. When the church was established, the Jews and the Gentiles became one in Christ. And somebody has Ephesians 2, 14 through 22. They would read, please read that.
But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. Did well with that scripture. Thank you. Unity. Unity. The fact is that through the Holy Spirit in your life, God will be able to accomplish what he endeavors to accomplish. For you who are older than everybody, the children that are upstairs, and one sitting back there, a little one, two little ones, have you took time to look back over your life to see how God has walked with you through some situations that you didn't know how you're going to make it through, what's going to happen? But as you sit back and you look back, you see what God has done, how God has walked you through those situations. We see the change from the external requirements of the ceremonial law to the internal leading of the Holy Spirit in my life and in your life. What Christian liberty is not, Christian freedom is not the opportunity to indulge the flesh. The flesh in the New Testament is that fallen nature. The part of us that is prone to sin. Colossians 3:9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds. We have put the old man off, but sometimes it seems that we go back, as those Galatians were told, to back to those past holidays and those weak and beggarly elements. We go back, and we need to have a renewing to bring us forward. You as Christians were not set free in Christ to do whatever you want. Think about that. We haven't been set free to do whatever we want. Do we think about that ever? What is God calling you to do? If you were saved, you won't indulge your flesh because of the sin's restraining presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you. All of us have a little conscience. Little conscience, big conscience. It ticks off in there. The conscience reminds us. In verse 13, it tells us not to use our liberty for the occasion to the flesh, meaning occasion in Greek is mephora, is a military term referring to the base of operations. I like that. The base of operations. Think about it. God, so we don't use the flesh as a base of operations. God has given us a mind. And that thing there really operates from what goes on around and what is inside. Don't use the flesh as a base of operations. You're not free to use your flesh as a springboard. How many of you get in a springboard sometimes? I know you Haldemans, you've always been in springboards. But you go out in that springboard and you can jump. Sometimes you may jump and then you say, well, I'm not jumping off of that. I don't want to, you'll back off. But some of you are fence pushers, like those sheep. You'll push the fences. Or we will try other ways to get around something. Some Christians are borderliners, thinking they can get away with sin without being condemned. Edge walking, the sins of the flesh. What is the salvation of anyone who believes? The Spirit will be the restraining order in their lives and in my life. Somebody has Romans 8, 9 through 15, please. Does somebody have that or did I not give it out? Okay, I can read that one. Romans 8, 9 through 15. Romans 8, 9 through 15. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Freedom of abandoning one's life to Jesus Christ. Freedom of the abundant life is to be set free by the only one who can give true freedom, and that is Jesus. That is Jesus. We are here but to serve one another, and we're here to serve one another because of what Jesus has done in your life and in my life and in the lives of those who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior yet. or in those who need to have a revival in their life and come back to those things that are important. And I want to go back here to Galatians chapter 5 again and just share with you these last verses about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and that they are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. If we're walking and living in the Spirit, we won't fulfill that. And I close with this verse from Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that this good and acceptable purpose and the will of God. I'm messing that up there. I don't have that written down. So, freedom in Christian liberty to serve God, to walk with God. What is it going to be like for you this week? Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, I come to you just now thanking you and praising you because you have sent the Holy Spirit. Continue, Holy Spirit, to work in our hearts and our lives to accomplish those things that will honor and glorify you, and crucifying those things that need to be taken out. Forgive us, Lord, of our failures and our sins. Cleanse our hearts and our minds. Help us, Lord, to be those people that would be fruit bearers of the Spirit of the fruit, as we just read about here. And help us to continue to walk in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. And now let's sing Jesus Loves Me. Jesus.